So today, my dear brothers and sisters,
well, you don't need to hear my voice twice. Okay. So as we celebrate this feast of Pentecost, we're reminded the importance of the Holy Spirit in our lives and the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It's not something that we're always very good as Catholics at recognizing is the work of the Holy Spirit. When we speak of the Trinity, we tend to understand God the Father, we tend to understand God the Son, but then there's this thing that's called the Holy Spirit, and it gets a little Pentecostal, and so we kind of go, we don't know what to do with the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is... And a lot of times we only heard about it when we made our, our confirmation. Forgive me, it's early in the morning, but anyway. So we made our confirmation and it kind of went away, but we don't really have an appreciation, a full appreciation for the Holy Spirit and for the work of the Holy Spirit. I was particularly, and the homily is going to be mainly based on this letter of St. Paul to the Romans, because Paul is always very eloquent in his speech, and he's particularly eloquent when he's speaking about the Spirit and the flesh, and that we are heirs to a kingdom, and that we received a Spirit. Not of slavery, but of adoption. St. Paul is very eloquent when he speaks. And really, he's not just eloquent, but St. Paul is able to get to the heart of human nature and of what it is to be human, kind of our experience, our daily experience of this battle that goes on between the flesh and the spirit, between good and evil, he's able to put it into words. And so I'm going to be primarily focusing on St. Paul's letter to the Romans. What was really interesting was that, and what is mainly driving the homily today besides St. Paul's letter to the Romans, is an article I came across about 2 weeks ago. In scanning the news, I came across an article from the Wall Street Journal, which immediately caught my attention. The headline, thank you, holy cow. I'm sorry, it's 8:22. I had a cup of coffee, but not everything is firing yet. Anyway, the headline for the article caught my attention. And usually, you know, headlines, they're meant to do that. And then usually you read the story and you go, you know, that was a waste of time. But this one was a particularly interesting article. And I invite you can read it from the Wall Street Journal. It was in the Apple News app. I invite you to go and read this because it's really very much eye-opening. So the headline was entitled, Young Americans Are Dying at Alarming Rates. And so I proceeded to read this article. It really was just a very sobering article. So I invite you to read it. But anyway, so the death rates for children between the ages of 1 to 19, and I'm going to say even older, 1 to 25, are at their highest levels in 15 years. Between the years of 2019 and 2020, the overall mortality rates for ages 1 to 19 and a little older rose by 10.7% in 2019. And in 2020, increased an additional 8.3%. This is the highest increase for two consecutive years in the 50 years that the government has begun publicly tracking this data. Now, this number should alarm us, but we're going to kind of be thinking what the years that I just spoke about, 2019, 2020, we're going to think, well, COVID, you know, caused that. And actually, COVID did not cause that. COVID only exacerbated an issue that was already happening. Well, and the article goes on to say because of the increasing amounts of mental health problems among our young people, COVID just took the problem and exacerbated it because we were cut off. We went to online. We were just not able to be in contact with each other. So COVID just made it worse. But the article goes on to say that there are four leading causes of death among that age group. The first leading cause of death is gun violence, which we read about all of the time that's happening in our cities. The second leading cause of death was drug overdoses. Again, at one time we thought, well, this is a problem of poor America. And I hate to tell you, it's not a problem of poor America. I mean, what I mean by poverty America, you know? We have an opioid drug problem across this country. The thing is, the difference between poor America and richer America is that we as richer people, we happen to be able to hide it a little better. But the problem is very real and very much alive. The third leading cause of death was car accidents. We're a society that has become a little more aggressive in the way that we drive. And the fourth leading cause of death, suicide. And as we know, or as you may not know, Colorado is one of the top three, or the highest suicide rate in the country. In fact, I think it was maybe five or 6 years ago, it was very, very, very disturbing. Within a month period of time, we had four suicides between Greeley and Fort Collins in the high schools. When I was in high school, we had a fellow student of mine who committed suicide. So this is a very serious and severe problem. There are serious mental health issues among our young people. But I'm also going to say, and the article did not speak about this, so this is Father Joe's contribution to the article, that all of these things are because of another reason, and that is because of the lack of God in our young people's life. The article says that researchers are learning, they should have learned already, but anyway, they're learning that young people use social media to replace successful relationships. They crave online social attention that leaves them unfulfilled because they want a relationship. Because that is why you and I were created. We're created to be loved and to love. We are created for relationship with each other. But my dear brothers and sisters, unfortunately, that online attention that they're looking for is not giving them life. But our young people are searching for relationship in all the wrong places. That relationship that they're looking for can only come from God. It can't be found online or in drugs or through violence or by having things. What they need is that relationship. And we, as parents, we have an obligation to help that generation. And many times, my dear brothers and sisters, I say this, but many times we have done, and particularly, this is a particularly a problem all over the country, but particularly a problem here in Fort Collins that we see as parishes, we get together every so often and we discuss what is happening in our parishes. And we as pastors, we have all noticed this in our, between the four parishes here in town, is particularly when it comes to religious education, we have a real serious problem here in Fort Collins. And that is that religious education fights something else. And I'm going to call it this. What religious education fights is the God of sports in Fort Collins. Oh, you're all looking, don't throw daggers at me. But it's true. It's true. It's fighting, we're fighting other things too. It's not just sports. But my dear brothers and sisters, our children need one thing. They need God in their lives. It's incredible what we will do for the sake of a college application. No, so that the college application looks good. And we do these most crazy things. And you're saying, well, Father, you're going to say that sports are bad. That's not what I'm saying. So don't misunderstand me. Because I played sports my life too, of course. We travel sports was not a thing back when I was a kid. But nowadays, we live and die by this holy thing of travel sports. And we act like, this is really going to get things thrown at me, but it has to be said. I'm sorry, it has to be said. We act like our kids are going to become professionals. And I'm not saying that they're not. I hope that they do, and I hope they remember me when they become professionals. But that can't drive our life. That can't be the end all and be all. God is not something that we fit in for our kids. Because, my dear brothers and sisters, our kids, our youth are being attacked by a world that hates God, by institutions that hate God. And if we don't wake the heck up and realize that the world is not going to help us, the schools are not going to help us. And in fact, they are openly fighting your children, especially when it comes to your children being Catholic. It's open season on Catholics and Christians in this country through the school systems. And so we as parents have even more the obligation to give our children God, to teach them to put God first in their lives. But let me tell you something. They are not going to put God first if you don't help them. If to you sports is more important than to them, that will be the same when they have children. And we will be fighting this ugly, vicious battle for years to come. And you know it's a problem when it's not just one of us priests noticing it. When the four of us in the area, or five of us in the area, the five pastors, are sitting down together bemoaning this problem is a problem. We're not making it up. We're not exaggerating. I know you probably, oh, Father, you're from the East Coast. You love to exaggerate. I'm not exaggerating. And you know it, and I know it. And so we are facing a serious problem. Our children are going through serious mental health issues. And we have to help them. I don't want to dwell on the problem. I just want us to be able, and I think that most of us would agree that we have seen, to some extent, we have seen this issue. We have seen the temptation. We have fought the temptation ourselves between God and everything else that has to happen. But I just wanted to state that there is a problem. But there is also an answer to this problem. And this is where St. Paul's letter to the Romans, it was so beautiful in his treatment of the Spirit, in which St. Paul said, "You did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into sin, but you received a spirit of adoption through whom you cry, Abba, Father." In other words, we are children of God. And this is what we have to help our young people realize. They are children of God. They were created out of love because God loved them, because God wants them, because God wants a relationship with them and with me and with you. This is what they were created for, to have this spirit of understanding that God is Daddy. That's how we translate Abba. It translates as Daddy. And that is a relationship of trust. Unfortunately, they don't always understand what it means to be heirs to a kingdom. They're not comprehending exactly what they are inheriting or how it is an impact on their own lives. And that's why God gives us parents. To the young people, your parents are trying to help you. And I know that as young people, we can have a very big tendency to fight our parents. Because it's not easy to want to come to Mass. It's not easy to have to get up at the 8 o'clock Mass when Mom and Dad make you come to the 8 o'clock Mass. This ungodly hour that we're still asleep. And we could tend to fight our parents. But my dear young people, God wants you. God loves you. God has a plan for your life bigger than you can ever imagine. And in many cases, your parents are doing everything they can to help you. And so don't despise when your parents strongly encourage you, I'll use that word, when they strongly encourage you to go to Mass, when they strongly encourage you to have a relationship with God, pay them heed. Because they are trying to do what is best for you. Even though at 17 and 18 and 16 and 15 and 23 and 25, we may think we know everything. Your parents are trying to help you. And so this is not just a homily to get the parents to wake up, but also for the young people, because I know the young people can make very difficult on your parents. You can be hard on your parents, especially when it comes to going to church, especially when it comes to the temptation of going to the university. One of the biggest temptations is when you go to college, is to kind of say, "Oh, I'm finally free of my parents. The fascism of my parents is finally done. And I can do whatever the heck I want." My dear young people, by abandoning God, you are doing immense damage to yourselves. And this is why St. John Paul II always said to the young people, keep your eyes on Christ. Even when you're in the university, in the colleges, studying, keep your eyes on Christ. Because Christ wants you. And so we have an opportunity now because all of the colleges and are coming home for the summer and going to be home. We are going to be running. We're going to be handing these out at the exits as you go out. We're going to be running the Rescue Project for the age group between 18 and 25. Okay, so if you're 18 to 25 and you're sitting here in this church, I highly encourage you, take one of these and come. If you're the parent of an 18 to 25 year old, you're going to take one of these and you're going to highly encourage them to come. If you're the grandparent of an 18 to 25 year old, you're going to encourage them to come. If you're a godfather, godmother, aunt, uncle of an 18 to 25 year old, you are going to do your part and you are going to invite them to this so that they can hear the gospel, so that they can be armed and made battle ready for what they are encountering in the world. We're going to begin this Wednesday. The first one is this Wednesday, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. In room 134. You're going to take one of these. It's got the handy-dandy QR code because we're so good online, so we all operate online. You're going to scan the code, and you're going to sign them up. I implore you, as your pastor and as your father, to take advantage of this opportunity. And that, as parents, to encourage your children, because it can become very easy in the summer to just become a little lazy. But this is the very important thing that they can do for themselves. And so as we come to this Eucharist, we ask the Lord for the courage, because we are encountering so many, such a serious problem in our society. We really need the spirit of courage to help our young people, to help this next generation to have a deep relationship and an encounter with the living God. Let us stand and profess our faith.